The University of Detroit Mercy presents another brand new episode of Ask the Professor. Today's program was recorded using Zoom video conferencing technology.
The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with the University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. All the way in my upper left, he wasn't exactly there a few minutes ago. It's Professor Jim Tubbs.
Hello.
What's going on, Jim?
Well, not a lot. I'm sitting here talking to you, but otherwise there's not a lot of activity going on in my house at the moment.
Yeah, the weather isn't cooperating right now, and I shouldn't say this out loud, but Farmer's Almanac's calling for a relatively wet spring, so it might be a while before we're done precipitating, unfortunately. Yeah, I didn't say it at all. However, there are people on this Zoom who love to have wet springs because they love when all the flowers come out, like Professor Heather Hill.
Hello, how are you?
Do you have plantings in mind? Have already happened or what?
I have a huge stack of gardening catalogs that I'm going through, but I always need to wait and see what comes up first before I start really thinking about it. So I have to show restraint.
Botanical restraint.
Botanical restraint. That's correct. Yeah, I seem to get some new gardening catalog every day. So
there's nothing wrong with that. It's fun.
Well, you know, I feel like I should order something from each one.
But of course.
All the whistle pigs are getting their life preservers ready for you. That's awesome.
Yeah, they are. So,
Heather, if you don't order stuff from every one of those catalogs, those companies are going to go out of business.
Yeah, I know. But I've discovered some new ones that I am going to try to give my business to a little bit more. So
Cool. Yeah. Continuing through our procession to spring is Professor Mara Livesey.
Hello. This spring/summer, I do hope to build a raised bed. So Heather, if you know anything, because I call my thumbs like black thumbs because I kill plants, please do let me know.
What is it going to be, Mara? Flowers or vegetables?
They will be vegetable based. I want to grow some of my own produce this summer.
That's cool. We'll call it a pandemic victory garden.
Yes.
Sounds pretty good. Someone who has already declared victory over COVID-19, it's Professor Dan Maggio.
I have? Well, I'm hoping to get my vaccine sooner than later, but not declaring victory yet.
Not yet.
Heather, it is your consumer responsibility to purchase.
Capitalism, keep it going.
Capitalism.
Well, yes. In addition to being in sabbatical bubble, I'm also on sabbatical salary. So.
Oh.
Okay. For every other catalog.
Yeah. Okay. There you go.
How's it going, Dan?
It's going great. Looking forward to the weekend. Not much is happening. Same thing as every other weekend.
That's right.
So watching The Crown. So I think we're going to try to tackle season 2. It's very, very well done.
Okay.
All of you are shaking your heads. So I'm assuming you've seen it. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming that this is pretty true to their lives, because it does not paint a pretty picture.
No, it
of their of their lives of Philip and Elizabeth's marriage.
That's right.
So far, which I think is sad.
Philip Philander. Yeah.
It plays fast and loose with historical fact, but it's well done. It's well put together.
It is.
This is a group that's not going to tell you what they actually said.
No,
it requires some creative intervention there.
I mean, if you learn anything from that, to protect the crown, they wouldn't say anything.
Right.
Because they're devoted. She makes it very clear that the crown comes first.
Heads will roll for telling too much.
Right. Oh, there's the kitty.
Oh,
staring right at the camera, too.
Oh, photogenic, unlike me. So.
And that me, of course, is Professor Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Excellent. Good to have you here, Dave. How's everything on the other side of the mud pit?
So far, so good. Believe it or not, our mud pit is still, we're still getting lettuce in our garden.
Wow. Okay.
So like during the last couple snowfalls, I've actually had to go out there and dust off my wife's cold frames so they can actually get sun.
So for the record, I was referring to that horrific construction project in our neighborhood, but it's good to hear your garden's going well too.
And actually next spring, I just got the notice from my construction person. We have construction happening here in April. So
really, really? What's that?
A two-car garage.
Oh, okay. So the time has come, huh?
Uh-huh. It's like, I think the universe found out I was just making way too much money and I have to distribute some of it. So we decided to go get a brand new driveway and a brand new two-car garage.
Well, it's just like the advice you were giving Heather. Bye, bye, bye.
Yep, but actually, Mara, Heather, if anybody else is interested, we've also got seeds and stuff here too.
Ooh.
So yes. if you want to think about it, we got plenty. My wife, trust me, we've got. Yeah, I think we're like the Norway seed bank south right about now. So we've got all of everything.
Save the world! Save the world! Last but most certainly not least on our panel today, Sister Erin McDonald is here from University Ministry. Thanks for coming, Erin.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
And I'm not doing any planting. I live in an apartment building in the city, and it's not conducive for growing things. I think what I'm spending the most time thinking about these days is, as some of you know, Ash Wednesday is on Wednesday, and the diocese has told us that when we administer ashes, we can either sprinkle it on people's heads or we can use a Q-tip. So I'm going to be doing some experimenting. Some of you science folks might appreciate a good experiment with what's the best way to administer ashes. And so would you prefer a sprinkle or would you prefer a Q-tip cross? And will the ashes stick to a dry Q-tip?
Wait, but couldn't you use like an air compressor and a bamboo rod or something like that?
Those are not within the diocesan guidelines.
Darn. Okay.
Just throw it into the air in front of a fan.
Wait, is this like a color run?
What about a rubber stamp?
Not in the guidelines.
Jim, what was your suggestion?
A thin sponge. You could make a cross easily with that.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
I was just going to say, because no one else had said it yet, that as long as you're not taking that Q-tip up into my brain, that's cool with me.
Yeah, yeah. And then as another little fun fact for folks to think about is that all of the Q-tips then need to be burned afterwards because they have holy ashes on them. So now trying to figure out the used Q-tips, you need to have a receptacle like a brown paper bag to put them in so they can easily be burned afterwards. So
that's right.
That's going to be my fun Friday night at home is, let's try this, sisters, and see what works.
I ask, what are holy ashes?
So they are, well, I think typically they are palms from last year's Palm Sunday. Usually they burn them and create the ashes.
Yeah. So it's not like old New York Times crossword puzzles or anything like that.
No, well, I mean, who would know, right? But
you would know. You would know.
It's all about faith.
I can neither confirm nor deny whether any New York Times crossword puzzles went into this burning of ashes.
Oh my gosh. You all are cut ups. I'll tell you what, folks, this is a program. Send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win a prize. It's been a while since we've had our ash questions. I can tell you that. You can send the questions in a number of ways. Email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on Facebook and Instagram or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. I have quite a treat for us here today, professors. Hello, everyone. I hope everyone is well and safe. I received this attached information online from a friend. Here are the first 10. The answers include some stats that you may want to take a stab at as well. I suggest 89% as the passing grade. If you happen to already have seen this info, let's see how good your memory is. This is from our good friend and former panelist, Diane Manica, out in Arizona.
Uh-huh.
Thanks for sending us these questions, Diane. This list is called The Least and the Most. The Least and the Most. Where, in general, is the world's coldest place, which in August 2010 registered a temperature, the regular non-wind chill, as negative 135.8 Fahrenheit. That is cold.
South Pole? Thereabouts?
Antarctica?
Greenland?
Yeah, it's Antarctica. It was on the East Antarctic Plateau. Yes, that is pretty brutal right there. I don't even know how that's possible. Negative 10 feels pretty biting around here. So, wow. Wow.
It's a dry cold. That's all.
I really hope so. Because I don't think I could, you know, stand getting wet and making it colder. What is the world's most populous city at a whopping 24.15 million inhabitants?
It's not Clausen.
It's not Clausen.
Beijing?
Yeah.
No, it's not Beijing.
Rio? Rio de Janeiro?
And I would have guessed Mexico City, but it's not
Sao Paulo?
I'm sorry, Heather?
Is it in India?
Mm-mm. It's in China, but it's not Beijing.
Shanghai?
Shanghai.
Shanghai. Shanghai. Yes. Huh. 24.15 million inhabitants. That is cozy. A very big city.
Real cozy.
How about the least populated city at a population of 842?
Pleasant Ridge.
Middle of nowhere.
Wait.
Someplace.
There are lots of cities that are less populated than that.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
So there must be some definition.
It's a play on words, Dan. The least populated city.
Okay.
I mean, there are some places in the desert that have a population of 12. So.
Right, yeah, right.
It's a play on word.
Least play on word, like what, Sin City or something like that? Or
how about I say, what is do you think is the least populated country in the world?
Vatican City.
The Vatican City, yes.
The birth rate is zero, okay.
The birth rate is zero.
We hope. What's a maternity ward like at the Vatican? I mean,
people gotta be born. Where do you think people are coming from? What is, based on gross domestic product of the city, the world's wealthiest city with a GDP of $1.52 billion, beating New York by a mere $310 billion in GDP? Holy
Tokyo?
It's Singapore. Tokyo, Japan.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Nice.
That's incredible. That is incredible. What is the poorest city located in the poorest country?
Port-au-Prince, Haiti?
Mm-mm. That's a good guess, though, Aaron. Absolutely. Many of this city's residents live on a dollar a day. And the poorest country in the world, just to give you an idea, remember, Tokyo was $1,520 billion. New York was $310 billion. This entire country has a GDP of $55 billion. The entire country.
Bujumbura, Burundi? And Kenya?
You need credit for knowing that.
Nope, it's not Kenya.
I've been there.
Ah.
No, you know, it says here that it's a city in the Congo named Kinshasa in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Aww. Most of the residents live on basically a dollar a day.
Wow.
Yeah, but sad. A dollar to us might mean something very different to them, but I'm assuming a dollar does not.
A dollar equivalent would be an assumption. So.
Right.
Yeah.
What are these dollar-based superlatives we speak of? What is the highest point in the world, towering 29,029 feet into the air?
Everest?
It's Mount Everest.
P2, yeah. Mount Everest.
You're right, Heather. Well, where is the lowest point in the world?
Death Valley.
Hell.
Partial credit. No, this is the lowest known natural point. Let's put it this way. This would be, they said, Mount Everest is essentially the closest you can get while still standing on Earth to outer space, okay?
Okay.
So this is the place where if you were there, which isn't nice.
What, like the Marianas Trench or something like that?
Yeah,
Trench.
Oh, yes. You're talking underwater.
Yes.
By the way, only three humans have ever been that close to the center of the Earth. And Diane observes one of them was James Cameron.
not for real.
What it's like.
Yeah, real? He's into that sort of deep sea stuff.
Oh, I thought you was playing on like a movie.
No. I mean, didn't he? I think he did the research on the Titanic by going down there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh. Mm-hmm.
So, just to be clear, Dan, that's the truth. James Cameron is one of the only three people in the world who've been down there. What is the most photographed building in the United States of America?
Empire State.
Nope. But it is in New York.
The Trump Tower. Trump Tower.
It's not the Trump Tower, but that's a great guess.
What, the
United Nations?
The library?
The Guggenheim?
It's the Guggenheim. And I love this, by the way.
Hey, Dan.
Dan's winning all the questions.
He is winning all
the questions. I'm looking over Matt's shoulder. I'm right above him.
You're Mr. upside Brady. Down. You're upside down upside above down. Him.
There you go.
How do you think the real-time data, because this is kind of cool, the real-time data is taken to know that the Guggenheim is the most photographed building in the United States?
Social
media is close. Not surveillance. It's actually cell phone usage. Remember how they found out how COVID came back to Detroit by following the phones of everybody who went to spring break? It's the same thing. Cameras are activated more often at that spot than anywhere else in the United States. So.
Oh my gosh.
Yep. And they know that about us. I'm really afraid of getting a microchip injected in me, but I'm going to carry this around and allow the government to do whatever else it wants.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Where is the wettest place on earth? It's not the Amazon. In this city, in this country, it rains an average of 467 inches of rain a year.
Dublin, Ireland?
Yeah. It's a good guess, but it's no.
Hold it. Heather, what about you? Is it Seattle?
Yeah, someplace
I was going to say Seattle. No.
Someplace in South Asia?
It's Indonesia. In South Asia. It's in India. That's right. Yes.
Oh, I said Indonesia, but I'll take credit for India. Oh.
Sure. It's,
you got the first letter right. Yes.
You got the first syllable right.
Yeah.
It's Mausinaram, India. Yes, where they had a world record. That's the average, 467 inches of rain per year.
Wow.
The record was met and beat in 1985 when they got 1,000 inches of rain during 1985.
That's 10,000 inches of snow. Can you imagine?
Wait a minute. Can you imagine?
Awesome. Okay.
Now, how many of those places over there have basements now? I mean,
do they have mold problems?
Wait, did you say 1,000 feet or 1,000 inches? You said 1,000 inches.
1,000 inches of rain.
Oh, that's 10 times as much snow. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. No, that's right. That's right. Last but most certainly not least here, what is the driest place on earth? It's not the Sahara, Diane says.
Antarctica.
You know, isn't it? I've heard that before, but this is a desert. This is a desert.
The last cake I made.
The driest place on earth. It says this desert has an average of only 4 inches of rain every century.
Oh my.
That's Siberia.
Like what, the Dead Sea somewhere over there?
It's in South America. The Atacama Desert has only 4 inches of rain every 100 years.
Where is the Atacama?
Let's see.
Argentina, Chilean border.
Yes. Yeah. I want to say it's Argentina. Thanks for sending those questions, Diane. That was awesome.
You're listening to a special edition of Ask the Professor, in which each of the seven professors participating in this recording session were connecting to each other from different locations, thanks to Zoom video conferencing technology. We're grateful to those listeners who submitted questions for today's show, and we welcome your questions at atp@udmercy.edu. Now, let's return to our host, Matt Mayo, with more questions for the panel.
We've got a few more questions. These are pretty awesome. I think that you all are going to like this. Dear profs, I hope your new year is off to a good start. We're still isolating, but looking optimistically toward a better 2021. Date on the questions, January 3rd. All this alone time continues to have Dennis and I cooking and eating too much, and it seems like we talk about food all the time, just like you. The morning's conversation led to this list of questions. Quick questions about classic soup, salads, and sandwiches. I'll give you the ingredients. You tell me what it is.
Ooh, awesome.
This should be really easy, so yeah. I'm setting a 75% passing.
Oh.
This is our friend Marilyn Bachorik from the very, very chilly Upper Peninsula in the great state of Michigan. Yes. Okay, so we're going to start. I can give you a subcategory. We have two soups. The first one is made of tomatoes, onions, garlic, carrots, cannellini beans, garbanzo beans, celery, potatoes, spinach,
minestrone,
and small pasta. Yes, that's minestrone. Yes, absolutely.
Now, although I don't think, have you ever had minestrone with garbanzo beans, with chichi beans?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's usually
beans.
I have barley, cannellini.
Okay.
I mean, you can do both, but
you can pretty much put anything in there.
Yeah, I saw your and Aaron's eyes light up when I said cannellini, but try this contrast. So this is another soup. Chicken, carrots, celery, onions, potatoes, tomatoes, zucchini, squash, spinach, coconut milk, apples, lentils, and rice.
Whoa.
The heck?
It sounds like an Indian dish.
It does, doesn't it?
I don't have
Did they make that up? Is it a trick question?
No, it's real. It was in a very interesting soup-related Seinfeld episode.
Coconut milk and apples?
With a soup Nazi? Mm-hmm. No soup for you.
Jambalaya?
It's not jambalaya.
No, it's not jambalaya.
I'm surprised. It has such a funny name.
I don't know. I don't know.
Starts with the letter M. Last hint.
Mulligatawny.
It's mulligatawny. Yeah, mulligatawny.
Never heard of it.
Never heard of it.
Oh,
it sounds good now. I mean, I'm not sure. The coconut milk with apples and chicken, I guess.
How about we move over to salads? Ham, turkey, Swiss, shredded iceberg, two green olives, and proprietary dressing.
Maurice.
I love proprietary dressing. It's so good.
I tell you, we've made that many times.
No, it's there. It's there. I promise.
Good stuff.
How about apples, walnuts, celery, mayonnaise, usually on a bed of bib or romaine? It's the Waldorf. Yep. How about, come on. Tomatoes, fresh mozzarella, basil, olive oil.
Caprese.
Yeah. Hey, oh. Okay, don't mess it up with the one we've already done. Chicken, hard-boiled egg, tomatoes, avocado,
Cobb,
blue cheese, bacon, and greens. Yep, that's blue a cob.
That's a good salad.
Yeah.
Ooh, blue cheese is good. Not too much.
You just switch it for feta.
Yeah, I'm with you, Mara.
Blue cheese on a burger.
No.
All right.
Marilyn says, if you want to make a cob, okay, you basically just have mixed greens. But if you use pretty much all the same ingredients, but specifically iceberg cut a certain way, you'd rather call it
chopped.
Not chopped, but that's really close.
Wedge.
A wedge is what it's called. The wedge salad. Yes. Because
the real answer is if you prefer iceberg, you are wrong.
Whatever it takes.
Mara, I never knew you were such a salad snob.
One more salad.
She's ruthless about her lettuce.
One more salad. Potatoes, green beans, tomatoes, hard-boiled egg, olives, bed of romaine with a little added tuna.
Niçoise.
Niçoise.
Nice. Yes.
Man.
Very nice. These are great questions. I like them. Okay. How about four sandwiches here? We'll finish it off. Turkey, Swiss, coleslaw, rye bread, Russian dressing.
Well, that's a turkey Reuben.
Yeah, turkey Reuben.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like that. She has it listed here as a Rachel, but I think that those are sort of...
I think I've seen that, yes.
Yep.
Okay.
Because maybe you don't want a Reuben.
Well, she's got coleslaw, not the sauerkraut, so...
Yeah.
Exactly.
Is that named after one of the Friends characters?
You don't want the Ross that's made with monkey. So,
or turkey.
Absolutely no problem getting this one. I'll go backwards here. Usually white bread, toasted, mayonnaise, lettuce, tomato, bacon, ham, turkey.
A BLT.
No,
a club.
It's a club.
Okay, sorry. Oops.
You know what I'm getting a vibe on here? Because, of course, I say this every year. The Mayo family goes to our favorite ice cream shop the first day that it opens, which is February 1st every single year, that was talking to the kids about how I just walk up and go tin roof and they know exactly what I want and they give it to me. Someone should send us a thing of questions about different kinds of sundaes. That would be cool.
Mm.
All right, two more sandwiches though. Ham, bechamel on a baguette grilled with Gruyere.
Croque Monsieur.
Yes. Very
good. I was
going
to say, this sounds like a number five at Jimmy John's.
Yeah.
Now, that's a great sandwich. I mean, bechamel cheese. I mean, what do you want here? It's been a while since I've had one of these, but when you can get one and it's made well, ham and Gruyere mixed with mustard. Very sturdy white sandwich bread because the whole sandwich gets an egg batter and then it's grilled.
Monte Cristo.
Monte Cristo.
And yeah, you can serve it with raspberry jelly.
And you can do that.
And powdered sugar, right?
And powdered sugar, yes.
Oh, that's right. Wow, that was a quick tour, and my stomach is going crazy. Right? Oh my gosh,
I'm hungry now again.
too much a mention of Gruyere for my liking. What if we did everybody's favorite sandwich to finish off today?
Oh.
I know. Tuna melt.
Go ahead, Heather.
Tuna melt with grilled red onions.
Nice.
Oh, that sounds good.
Nice. And pickles and onion rings.
Nice.
Okay. Heather, what are you chasing with drink wise?
Raspberry float.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Not raspberry, root beer float.
Sorry. Okay. You've thought it through. Okay.
Yeah.
That's like cool. A good Cuban.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I was about to go there.
Well, what about your sandwich? Oh.
Good Cubans, hard to come by. Hard to come by. A very, very good. Well,
I was
going to
say a turkey club, but a Cuban is really good.
Yeah, it is.
Dan, Aaron, Dave.
So certainly a Reuben, a good Reuben. Yeah. But I like good Italian with like a salami, ham, and capicola and provolone.
On a fresh
Italian bun.
Dressing.
That's why I like watching The Sopranos, because he would always open the refrigerator and just make a sandwich exactly what I described.
Man, that sounds good.
But you need good meat and good ingredients. So Cantoro sells some pretty good sandwiches there.
I'll have to go with my first gut response, which is a grilled cheese sandwich. Yep. That's like a staple comfort food for me.
Especially, yeah.
What's your cheese though, Aaron?
Ooh, so I like to mix cheeses. So, like, I'll put, like, a piece of, like, sharp cheddar and a piece of Colby Jack. Or sometimes I'll put a piece of, like, provolone and then put, you know, pepper jack in with it. Or I kind of like to mix. I'm a cheese mixer.
I love it.
Gruyere works well, too.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of Gruyere, it works well in the...
Works well with everything. Dave, it comes down to you. Oh,
I think I might be leaning toward, like, a Dinty more. I don't know why that sounds good right about now. It's like from the breadbasket deli over on Greenfield.
It's because you're hungry. Everything sounds good.
I know. It's like doggone. Right before dinner too. Curse you guys. No, I don't know. I think Dan's Reuben is. I think that's got to hit the spot. I think I might have to make a mad dash over there now.
It reminds me, Dave, of the old days of Zoop. I want to say there might be still a couple around, but they had some pretty darn good local soups and sandwiches.
Yeah, they did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's still one in Southfield.
Okay.
That's right.
Yep. Well, I'm afraid that all of this has us reaching for our phones. We're tapping on the Grubhub and the Uber Eats app here hardcore. So the time has come to say goodbye, Dave.
See ya.
Mara.
I'm hungry.
Dan.
I'm hungry too.
Heather.
Very hungry.
Jim.
Growling.
And Aaron.
I'm sure glad it's not late because it's Friday, so I can go home and eat whatever I darn well please.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.